do trust that everyone's had a good day and a good week thus far. Sure has been beautiful weather. It's a beautiful time of year, isn't it? It really is. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll take a look at some thoughts here out of Psalm 42. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that you would give us wisdom from your word, understanding, give us truth that would help us as we go through life. Lord, as we look into the psalm tonight, I pray that you would help someone that is discouraged, maybe lost their way, or they feel that they've been forgotten. And I just pray for your encouragement and the encouragement of your word in their heart. I pray, God, you would strengthen us as a result of the preaching of your word tonight. But above all, I pray that the name of Christ would be exalted. Draw us closer to you. And if there is someone here tonight or someone that would join us by live stream that does not know you, God, I pray they would open their heart and you would open their understanding, that they would receive you and know you in a personal way through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Psalm 42. This psalm, I believe, was written by David. Now, the Bible doesn't say it was written by David. Even the heading itself doesn't say. Many times you'll see, as a matter of fact, if you go back to Psalm 41, you'll see where it says a psalm of David. And there are other psalms that say a psalm of David. Now, I do believe David wrote some psalms that doesn't say a psalm of David. Some people believe that this is a psalm of Hezekiah. Now, whether that's so or not, I don't know. That's just what some people have put out there. Some people believe that this is David when he was very discouraged because of all the things that were going on in his life. And, you know, I think about David, and it doesn't matter if it was David or any other person who knows God. God used the experiences of their life to inspire this psalm. And I think about how that, you know, life is full of ups and downs, isn't it? I mean, it truly is. And some days are just wonderful. Every day is wonderful when you're saved, but not everything that happens in every day is wonderful. And I think the psalmist has really gotten distraught, even to the point of discouragement. And I hesitate to use this word because it's thrown around in our society so much, but possibly even depressed. He's really, really low. Now, some believe that this is a psalm that depicts the Lord Jesus when he was, this kind of has a messianic tone to it. Again, I don't know. I know this. I know that when I read through this psalm, that I thought about occasions in my own life. And I thought about you. I thought about people of this church that have gone through, and some that are going through very, very difficult times, troubled waters. And I thought, you know, what an appropriate psalm to maybe try to help somebody, and as it's helped me through the years, and I pray that it would help someone here tonight. If nothing else, maybe that it would be something that God would give you for a future date. And so let's just take a look at it, okay? The psalm starts out, and it's obvious right away, the psalmist begins to say, you know what, I'm in a bad way. I'm in trouble. I can't find God. I don't know if you've ever been in that place in your life. It's not something we like to talk about. It's really not. It's something that I believe happens to a lot of Christians, maybe most, if not all Christians, to some degree, to where you just feel like God's forsaken you. You just feel like God has forgotten you. Now, I'm not saying God would forsake you. We know that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So that's not what I'm saying. I said sometimes we may feel like God has forsaken us or God has forgotten us. As a matter of fact, if you look at verse 9, he said, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? What a question. A thing to ask himself. God, why have you brought me to this parched desert place in my life and just left me here? You've just disappeared. I'm looking for you. As a matter of fact, he said in verse number 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. God, where are you? I know you're there. You know, the hart, the deer has, and I'm not a deer hunter. I know very little about deer, actually. I know that some tenderloin tastes good if it's prepared right. But I know this. I know that deer have a very keen sense of smell. Some that I've read after said that, and some of the deer hunters may want to qualify or validate this, that some deer, depending on the direction of the breeze and the day, the time of the day, could maybe pick up a scent a quarter of a mile, if not a half a mile away. Such a keen sense of smell, which is part of their defense. And so here's what this man is saying. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, God, I know the water's around. I sense it, but I can't find it. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, my soul is parched. I'm dry. Spiritually, I'm dry. And I just need to hear from heaven. I need to hear from the other world. You know, I just need to hear something from above. You ever been like that? Maybe there's someone here tonight that's the way you are. I just need to hear from God. There's something going on in my life, and I just need God to be real to me. I need God to show himself strong. I need God to remind me that he is my refuge, as these ladies sang about here tonight. And so he said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I'm thirsty. God, I'm thirsty for you. I'm hunting for you, but I can't seem to find you. I go to church, and I know you're there, but I just can't seem to sense it. I go in my secret place. I get in your word, and it just, something's changed. Something's changed. Something's missing. What is it? Who is it? Is it me? God, are you putting me through this time of testing, or are you allowing this? Is this my doing? And we'll see this in a moment. These are some of the questions that are going through this man's heart and through his mind. He said in verse number 2, my soul thirsteth for God. I think this is a really, really, it sounds like a bad place to be in, but I think it's good when a person realizes how much they need God. Don't you? Sometimes God is so good to me that I take it for granted. I'm ashamed to say that, but it's the truth. And God knows it whether I tell you or not. God knows it. But I don't think I'm alone in that way of feeling. I think if we're not careful, all of us, God can do so much for us and be so good to us that if we're not careful, we'll just take the goodness of God for granted and almost approach it like, well, you know what? God owes me that. Brethren, you know and I know, God doesn't owe us anything. Everything that God has given to me is because he is a good God and a gracious God. It's not because I'm a good person. It's not. I was visiting a man this week, and he told me, he said, you're a kind man. And I told him, and I got broken up. I said, sir, I want you to know that any kindness that you see in me is God alone. There's no good in me. And I mean that. I mean that. Any good in me is God. And I believe that's where the psalmist was. He, God, I'm thirsting for you. My soul thirsteth for God. Now, you know what the soul is. Listen, the soul of man, it speaks of the intellect, the mind. It speaks of the emotion. It speaks of the will of man. God, my soul is thirsting for you. You know, my flesh may not seek after God, but I'm here to tell you this evening, brethren, my soul seeks after God. How about your soul? Is your soul seeking after God? Is your soul thirsty for God Himself? I like what he said. My soul thirsteth not for the things of God. You know, there would be nothing wrong with that, would there? There would be nothing wrong with that. My soul is thirsting for God's provision or God's protection. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not what the psalmist is declaring. The psalmist is saying, God, it's you. It's not what you can do. It's who you are. I just want to be in your presence. Amen. Brethren, I'm the greatest version of me I'll ever be when I'm in God's presence. And God has just made that real to me the last few days. He's just reminded me that when men get in the presence of God, it's different. It's just different. And so here's the psalmist, and he's saying, you know, I feel like I've been forgotten. I'm spiritually dry. I need something. I just need something more. There's something missing. And he'll elaborate on this in just a moment. And so he starts out by saying, God, it's not good for me. I'm just not in a good way. I'm down. And I need you. I need you to show up, right? And so he said, my soul thirsteth for thee, for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When will I sense that you're there? When will I sense that I'm in your presence, Lord? That's where I desire to be. That's where I long to be. Now, some folks may be okay without it, but I'm convinced that when you get saved, you desire the presence of God. Maybe not every day, all day, but there is just something in you, that spirit. Listen, that spirit that beareth witness with my spirit when I got saved, listen, I just need to be in the presence of God. I need it. It's good for me. As a matter of fact, it's best for me. And so here was the psalmist, and he said, you know, if it was David, I'm not saying it was, but just think about this for a moment. Here's a man after God's own heart, a leader, the king of the great nation of the covenant people of Israel, who had so many things going for him, but on the flip side, he had so many things going against him. And Pastor David has alluded to some of those things in Sunday night. And it just goes to show the ups and downs of life. And because of the inconsistencies and the imbalance of life, only God can just balance things out. Isn't that right, brethren? Only God can just bring meaning and bring a sense of peace and belonging in life. And so here he is, and he's saying, God, I'm in a bad way. Actually, as we travel on, you'll find in this psalm, you'll find out what he's saying is, God, I'm in a dark place. I'm considering doing some things that I don't like. I'm overwhelmed. I'm hurting. And God, I know you know my soul, and you know where I'm at. And I need you to show up now. I need more than a preacher. Thank God for preachers. And I mean that. I'm not saying it because I am one. I'm saying that to others who have helped me, preachers who have helped me. Thank God for preachers. Thank God for God's people. Thank God for friends. And thank God for the brethren. Amen. Thank God for his house. But there's sometimes, brethren, listen, in our lives when nothing else but God himself will do. And that's exactly where this psalmist is. There's no way you can read this psalm and not know that this psalmist needed the presence of God in his life. He needed God to come on the scene. He didn't need to hear about God. He didn't need someone to tell him it's going to be okay. He didn't need someone. He needed God to show up and minister his presence to his soul. And perhaps there's someone in that condition tonight, and you realize it. Perhaps you're in that condition tonight and you don't even realize it, and God is using this to maybe reveal to you, hey, this is what you need. In the place you are, this is what you need right here. You need my presence. You need to get into my presence. He said in verse number 3, he said, not only is there spiritual dryness, you in my life, and I feel like God has forgotten me, even to the place where I feel like God has forsaken me. He said, not only is there that, he said, there's just continual crying. Notice what he said in verse number 3. My tears have been my meat day and night. I just can't stop crying. I'm hurting. I need answers. God, I need you. And I'm hurting. And I'm crying. Help me, Lord. Help me. Maybe there's someone here tonight like that. What a pitiful place to be in. It really is. And while I would hope no one here tonight would say, well, that's foolish. Listen, if you've never been there, don't you make a statement like that. There are people that hurt like this, night and day. They're torn. They're tears. It's all they know is tears. They feel like there's no way out. That's what this psalmist is saying. He's saying, God, I just... And we'll see this in just a moment when we get down in verse number 6 and 7. One of the things he says in verse number 7 is, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. God, I'm overwhelmed. I can't take anymore. God, I need you to help me. I need some help. All of my days are filled, my nights with crying continually, he said in verse number 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? You know, people, they seen him and he began to get maybe a sense. I sense, as I read this, they began to get a sense of uselessness, worthlessness, shame, maybe even some guilt. God, why am I feeling this way? I'm saved. Aren't the saved to rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. Aren't we to rejoice evermore? Aren't we to have a countenance that beams and that shines bright? And aren't we to have the testimony that points to our God as being the answer? And here I am. I feel helpless. I feel crippled. I feel useless. I feel ashamed. And all of this is in this man's, in his life. And there's people that are saying, you know, where is thy God? Where is thy God? You know, that seems to be the question of a lot of people today. I try not to spend a lot of time on social media for this purpose right here. I don't want to fill my mind with that negativity. Now, you do what you do. That's you. I can't run your life. But I'm going to tell you something, brethren. We need to fill our hearts and minds with good things. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And what you put in your heart is going to find its way into the recesses of all that you are, and it's going to come out as it's processed in your heart. So you be very careful about what you allow in. I realize that there's a lot of negative things going on in our world. I realize that. And you can't block it all out. And some of it we need to know. Some of it we can't just turn a blind eye and a deaf ear because it's not what we want to hear or it's not good news. There's some negative things that we need to know. But I refuse, by the grace of God, I refuse to just fill my mind with that negativity. Just always something bad. Always something, terrible. Just always death and destruction and darkness. And I realize that. It's all around us. I don't have to read about it. It's all around us. I know that. God said it would be. And so I think that this man, without social media, had been surrounded by the enemy. And I use that singular because I believe it's the devil. Had hemmed him in. And the things that were going on in his life, the devil was using to bring him to a place to where he felt like, I'm hemmed in. There's no way out. The only way I'm going to get out of this is do, well, the unthinkable. I'm going to end it. I'm overwhelmed. And he said, there's all of these people saying, where is thy God? And there's so many of these folks running around today mocking God, mocking his word, mocking God's people. And it's just a crying shame that we live in the society that we live in, where people just mock God, make light of who God is and God's word. I want to tell you something. I'm not easily offended, but it offends me. It makes me righteously indignant for people to speak in a negative way toward my God. How about you? I hope that it does. And if it doesn't, it needs to. If people can curse our God and it doesn't bother you, you're insensitive to the things of God. If people can mock God, if people can mock the goodness of God, and they can say things that are going on in our society today and it doesn't move us, something's not right. So I pray to God that it would move us. And so here's this man, and he said, I'm in a bad way. This is bad. And I feel like that everything around me is caving in, coming apart. But then something happened. Look at verse number 4. When I remember, boy, I tell you, here's a good thing to do. Now listen to me carefully. When I get down, when you get down, when we get down, it's always good to reflect. Times haven't always been this way. And here it is now. Listen, he's going to start kind of, it's almost like when he thought that it couldn't get any worse, all he was seeing was negative and bad and ruin and wreck all around him. God's forgotten me. I'm in a bad way. There's no way out. I'm not going to get out of this. I've let God down. I've done it this time, you know. Now all the people, all of my enemies are saying, boy, some God you have. You are pitiful. You know? And he said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. What are you saying, psalmist? He's saying, you know, it's almost like in the midst of all the darkness, in the midst of all the negativity, in the midst of all the sorrow and the hurt, I began to think, you know what, it hadn't always been this way. I remember a time when I was leading them down. This is why a lot of people think that it was David, that he was leading as they were singing a psalm going down to the house of God. Amen? You see, that's what he was saying. He said, I remember when I was out in front, I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God in the voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day. I had gone with them. I was out front. I was with them. We were rejoicing. We were praising God. It hasn't always been like it is right now. So one of the things to remember, brethren, is when you get in a bad way, when you get in a dark place, just remember, it's just for a season. And it's just if need be. That's what God's word has promised. So I don't know why I'm here. Well, you know, I don't know that there's anything wrong with asking why. I think the real question should be how. You know, even if you know why, I don't know that that's going to help a whole lot. But how am I going to respond to this? You know, I think the why is more for God. God knows why because God knows best. Right? God knows why I go through what I go through. God knows why you go through what you go through, because God is allowing it. God is orchestrating our life. Let me find that verse there that I think would be good for us at this time to look at. The last part of verse number 8. and my prayer unto the God of my life. Well, it's like God reminded him, I'm in control of your life. Not you. I'm in control. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of that, don't we, brethren? We just need to be reminded God's in control. He is. And it helps us to know that you know, God is faithful. And that's really where verse number 4, it starts to turn to where he says, you know, God is faithful. He's never left me in the dark place longer than I needed to be there. He's never left me in this condition, in this position, no longer than what he seemed deemed fit for my life for me to be there. God is faithful that way, brethren. I'm here to tell you, God is faithful. He's always faithful. He's always been faithful. That's all he knows how to be, is faithful. And God is faithful. And so when you're going through, when I'm going through, when we're going through a difficult time, we just need to remember that God is faithful. He's not going to leave us there. God's not going to leave us there. He's going to, with that temptation, he's going to make a way to escape. God is faithful that way. And so he realized when he was there in verse number 4, he began to think back and he says, you know, it hasn't always been this way. And I know sometimes when we get in a bad place in life, don't we say that? You know, it just seems like my life is this. And you'll start trying to make yourself believe my life's nothing but a failure, and I just have had really nothing but bad things happen to me, and it just seems like there's a cloud over my life, and it just seems like that everything that can go wrong in my life does go wrong. And then God reminded the psalmist here, no, son, that's not true at all. Think back to a time when you were singing the songs of Zion. You're rejoicing in the congregation of the righteous. You were praising God. And so life is a mixture of sunshine and rain, right? I mean, it just is. And it's not all going to be just sunshine all the time. But thank God it's not all going to be rain all the time either. There's a good balance to life, and I'm thankful to God for it. And God is faithful, and I'm thankful for that. And so he said, I remember. There's so much in verse number 4, but I must move on because I want to get through some things. I just hope that you'll look at verse number 4 and see all that's there. There's fellowship. There's worship. When you look at verse number 4, you can see where God reminded this man of all the good things that he had done and even was yet going to do in his life. Son, I'm not through with you. And I thank God that my life is what it is. I thank God for that. I hope that you do. I believe that you do. And I don't want a dry spell in my life. I don't want this dry spell that we go through from time to time that would have me to get to a place in my life where I forget all the good that God has done for me and is yet going to do for me. And that's exactly what happened. And when he thought of that, look at verse number 5, he said, what in the world are you doing? He begins to talk to himself. And he said in verse number 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? What's wrong with you? God's good. But I still feel bad. Right? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. You know God is faithful. You know God is true. You know God will never leave you. You know God will never forsake you. You know God's never forgotten you. He's saying this to himself. You ever talk to yourself? Sometimes you just got to, well, encourage yourself in the Lord. And that's exactly what he's doing. And he said, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. God is going to show up again. By faith, I'm claiming his countenance. By faith. He didn't say God showed up. He said, he's going to. I'm going to yet. He said, I'm going to. I shall. That's present tense. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I need God to show up. God is faithful that way. God is good, and God is going to show up on my behalf. Amen. Man, that encourages me. That encourages me. And so he said, sometimes you just need to talk to yourself. I think it's good to talk to others. I think it's better to talk to God, but you know, it's good to talk to yourself. You're going to do it anyway. You might as well do it about these things. Everybody talks to themselves. I don't talk to myself. See, you just did it. And And old self is broken. Now listen to me now. Old self doesn't know the way out of these situations. Old self probably played a big role in getting you into this situation. I don't know why the psalmist was in this situation. Was it sin? I don't know. Was it sorrow? I don't know. Was it death? Health? I don't know. The Bible doesn't really say. Could have been a mixture of all of those things. Could have just been life. You know? So he began to ask himself some real honest questions. You know, sometimes we have to do that, don't we? We just have to ask ourselves, what's wrong with you? What's going on? Be honest with yourself. Ask yourself the hard questions and give yourself the hard answers. I'll tell you what's wrong with you, and then just put it out there. And if you don't know, then go to someone and say, listen, because some people don't know, okay? I don't want to pretend that everyone knows what's going on with them when they're out of sorts. Some people really don't know, and they need help. And if you need help, if you're in the sound of my voice and you need some help, get you some help. Get you some help. Verse 6, oh my God, my soul was cast down within me. Now he's talking to God. He asked himself, why art thou cast down? What's wrong with you? And then he said, God, I want to tell you that my soul was cast down within me. Therefore, will I remember thee. And that's always a good thing to do. Remember, he's kind of going back to verse number 4. He reflected back. And when we get in a bad way, it's just good to remember the goodness of God. All my life, you have been faithful. Amen. And you just go back and you just say, God, you've been good to me. God, you've been good to me. So good. So good. Right? Far better than any of us deserve, brethren. Far better. That doesn't make life a bed of roses. It doesn't make it without its trouble and its hiccups and its dark places, but it sure does make it good. Amen. That God is a part of it. I am so glad that God is with me in this journey that I am taking. And he said, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Now, I researched and researched and researched, and there's very little about really what's being said here. I've narrowed it down to this. I believe what our psalmist is doing, and God's listening, and I want to do right by the scripture. You know that. I'm just saying I believe what this psalmist is doing is he's recounting some experiences in his life where God showed himself and he remembered how God either delivered him from these experiences and showed himself. And so he said in verse number 6, he said, my soul was cast down within me. He said, here I am again, Lord. I'm in this way again. And he said, so I'm going to remember how that time at Jordan and the Hermonites and that time of the hill from Mizar, that those times when the deep, the noise of thy waterspouts is, you know, it's overwhelming me again, Lord. And I remember how you came to my aid. And I remember how you were faithful to me. And God, because of that, verse number 9, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. God, because of that, because of your faithfulness, because of your loving kindness, because of your relation to me and my relation to you, I just know you're going to help me this time too. God, I know you are. I don't know how. I don't know when. I just know you're going to. Brethren, can I tell you that's something that I pray that every one of us could store somewhere in our minds to pull up the next time that we get in this condition right here. Just reflect back when you're in a bad way. If you're in a bad way right now, I'm looking across here, there's no one in here young enough that you haven't been in a bad way before. And so this is not your first time being in a bad way. Just remember how God was with you. Remember how God was faithful to you. But now also remember this. God wants to draw you to himself. I will never believe that this man didn't come out of this experience better than he went into it. Though this doesn't sound good, I'm thirsty for you, God. I feel like you've forgotten me and forsaken me. I'm in a bad way. I'm overwhelmed. But I believe it just ended better than it began. I think he grew through it and as a result of it. Let me give you a couple of other things and our time is up. I do want you to notice in verse number 8, this is just who our God is. God is kind. And I'm thankful of God's loving kindness, aren't you? I'm glad God won't leave us in a bad way. He just won't. Even when we run and jump in a bad way. You know, I've done that a couple of times in my Christian experience too. Just dug a ditch and then jumped in it. And he said, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. Basic and essentially, I believe what he's saying is God's in control and God, you're all I need. You're all I need, Lord. Verse number 9 says, I will say unto God my rock. There it is. You know, what total two ends of the spectrum. God is loving kind. That kind of sounds a little soft, but God is my rock. Doesn't get any harder than that. Amen. And I'm glad that the balanced God can bring balance to our life, aren't you? God knows how to bring balance because he's balanced. And he knows when we need the loving kindness. He knows when we need that soft touch. But he also knows when we need to hold on to something firm. And we need that foundation to stand because our feet are slipping and we feel like we're losing our grip on life. And God is there. When everything else around us seems to be sifting sand, God is the rock, amen, that we can stand on. And that's what he said. And then he said, you know, I can say, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? I can talk to my God about anything, is what he said. Verse number 10, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? There it is again, mocking my God. And you just get tired of hearing it. And I think the psalmist is saying, I'm just tired of it. I don't want to hear that stuff. Well, let me close with this. Verse 11, he's asked again, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou cast down? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And so in verse number 5, he said he's my help. But in verse number 11, he said he's my health. He's going to restore me. He's going to help me in a way by restoring me to good spiritual health. And I stand before you as a person who has been dry and, well, will be dry again if Jesus doesn't come tonight, and he may. But I'm glad to know that God will always restore me because he's my helper and he wants me to be in spiritual good health. And he wants you to be that way too. Now the question was asked, would you stand? The question was asked, why hast thou forgotten me? Did God forget the psalmist? Church? No. No. And God will not forget you either. God won't forget you. Now, I realize that sometimes it seems that he has. It seems like he's forgotten us, forsaken us, but I'm glad that he's done neither. And God is our greatest friend. I was thinking about Abraham, the friend of God. What a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. I do pray that you understand what the psalmist was saying when he said, the God of my life. You don't want to do life without him. If you're here tonight and you do not know this God that I spoke to you about, if he's not the God of your life, I pray that you would make him the God of your life. It's a decision that you must make. We started off this service by singing, I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you decided to do that? Have you decided to follow him? Now listen, when you decide to follow Jesus, there's going to be some turmoil. There's going to be some challenges, some opposition. All right? I read this week about an early church father, Augustine. And I'm not saying that I agree with everything in every position that Augustine took. But I read about Augustine, and someone came to him and said, Sir Augustine, if I could offer you everything that your heart desired, pleasure, money, just named all of these things, would you accept it? And he said, upon what terms? And he said, you would never be in the presence of God again, but you would have all that your heart desired. And he said, sir, the presence of God is all my heart does desire. And when I read that, I thought, wow, what a statement. What a statement. What's your heart desire? What are you thirsty for? Let's bow our heads together.